with us tonight, if you would, in the Psalm 106. Psalm 106 is the psalmist recounting and recalling Israel's journey in the wilderness and beyond, and God's faithfulness to them, but their rebellion to God in so many ways. And in Psalm 106, we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 13. And as you're finding Psalm 106, verse 13, again tonight, let's remember those who've lost loved ones, Sister Connie and her family. Remember Sister Mary Blue. Keep her in your prayers as she continues to mourn and grieve the loss of her husband, George, and those that have lost loved ones, and then those that are facing illness. Tom Bender is having a toe amputated because of the diabetes. They said that at one time they might have to take two. They're not sure. I don't know just what all they're going to do, but I know for sure they're taking the one tomorrow or Tuesday. So remember Brother Tom Bender in your prayer, and keep Harvey and Brother Curtis and all those ones who are dealing with long-term things, and especially Sister Tanya. We just ask you to remember her as she's dealing with the cancer and struggling with that, and the breast cancer that has spread into the rest of her body. And it's not the kind of thing that you want to hear, but it's also not the kind of thing that God can't heal, that God can't deal with. Amen. I believe in prayer, and I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in miracles, and I believe God is a miracle-working God. Amen. And I believe he can meet the need that Sister Tanya has, and we just need to trust him for what she needs and just praise him for what he does. Amen. And how he does it. And then we ask you to remember our granddaughter Courtney in prayer again. As the news come back to her the other day, the markers are still showing cancer, and that wasn't what we was wanting to hear, and what certainly what she wasn't wanting to hear. And we don't know if they're going to need to do anything right yet or what. They said the cancer team will evaluate the situation together and decide how they want to proceed with treatment, whether it'll be for the time being just wait to see what's happening, or to go into another type of treatment. But we know it's in God's hands. Amen. So we just ask you to continue to pray for her, if you would. If you found Psalm 106, verse number 13, the Bible says, "They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and gave him their request, but he sent leanness into their soul." Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us and for providing for us our every need, God, and for bringing us back at this time, Lord, and for the word that you have for our hearts tonight. The word that you prepared for us tonight is the word for these that are here, and we can't say that it was for someone else. It's for us, it's for me, and it's for everyone that's under the hearing of your word. Help us, God, tonight not to find ourselves in the place where Israel did. Help us, the Lord, tonight as we look to your word, just to be encouraged to the place where you'd have us to be found faithful and doing what you'd have us to do. And we praise you for what you'll do and what you've done. In Jesus' name, we say amen. I like Sister Carlina this morning in our prayer request time this morning. She says, "I want to thank God for the prayers that he's answered." She said, "I want to thank God for the prayers that he hasn't answered yet." Amen. Sometimes we need to be reminded that God's got to answer to our prayer. Amen. And we need to be thankful for what he's going to tell us and what he's going to show us through the answer to prayer. And that's my prayer tonight. As we look, our focus tonight is on verse number 15. And he gave them their request. Aren't you just amazed at how many times God gives us things, though it proves out to be that we really didn't need them? Amen. That God gives us things, and it proves out to be that what he gave us because of what we asked for wasn't really what we should have had, wasn't what we needed. It became a hindrance to us rather than a blessing. The Bible says, "And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls." Do you realize that sometimes God will bless you physically, but it might come at a cost to you spiritually? Amen. Amen. They requested something of God. God was providing for their needs. God was supplying all that they had need of, and yet they weren't satisfied. Sometimes we're not satisfied with what God has for us. Can I get an amen? This isn't the world we're preaching to tonight. This isn't the lost people we're talking about. This is God's people. Sometimes God is blessing us, and we fail to realize that God is blessing us more than what we need to be blessed, and we want more. We ask God for more, and God, being the great God that He is, knows that it's not going to be good for us, but because we press and because we push, He gives us what we want. Amen. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever prayed to God, "God, I want, and God said, "No, no, 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 no." But you kept praying, so God said, "Okay." Amen. Can anybody testify to that? Amen? Amen. I'm glad some of these little ones. I see Jonathan's hand up back there. I see Ruby's hand up. Amen. I'm glad they're learning. Amen. To praise God and to participate and be a part of the service. The service isn't all about the preacher preaching. Amen. It's about God's people affirming and confirming what has been preached and what has been said. Amen. But God will give us what we want. Amen. Even though He knows there's going to be a price to pay. The Bible says He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Things that fill our lives, but bring leanness to our soul. Things that satisfy us physically, but leave us wanting spiritually. Amen? And we've all been there. We've all experienced it in some regards. Six things I want to look at tonight. Six things that we can go through here real quick if I get on with it. And we can see that God allows us to experience, but if we're not careful, can cause leanness in our souls. This is for God's people to grasp and understand. Lusting for carnal pleasures. They wanted what they were looking for back in Egypt, what they had in Egypt. They were looking back to the world. You know, Egypt is always a picture of the world, is it not? Spiritually, it's always a spiritual picture of the world. And they kept looking back, and the Bible tells us, if you go back and read the text, they were talking about the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers and all the stuff that they had back in Egypt and how good it was back in Egypt. And they forgot that back in Egypt, they were slaves. Back in Egypt, they were in bondage. Back in Egypt, they were under persecution. Back in Egypt, they were nothing. Back in Egypt, their lives accounted for nothing. If you died as a slave in Egypt, it meant nothing to the Egyptians. It meant nothing to the world. But yet they were longing for the world, and they were wanting to go back to the world, and they were desiring the things of the world. But praise God, He brought us out of the world. Amen. If you go read the whole Psalm here, Psalm 106, it's talking about how God brought them up out of Egypt, out of the Red Sea. He slew the whole Egyptian army and how He done everything. And as He fed them manna and as He supplied their needs and was meeting the needs that they had, they were never satisfied. Amen. They were never satisfied. They couldn't be consoled by the things of God. They lusted for the carnal pleasures that they had left behind. Do you realize that what God has always given is perfect? Amen. Amen. Do you realize there's never, man, the closest thing I can think of to being a perfect food, y'all know what that is? Pinto beans. Amen. Amen. God had supplied them the perfect food. He gave them manna. They didn't have to plant it. They didn't have to tend to it. They didn't have to do anything but go out and gather it in the morning. And on the day before the Sabbath, you gathered enough for the Sabbath day. Amen. God supplied. It was the perfect food. It sustained them. They were healthy. Amen. They didn't have any dietary. There was, man, I've never heard of so many people having problems eating in my life than what we have this day. Amen. Glucose intolerance. Man, I grew up and How many ever heard of anybody having glucose intolerance when you was growing up? Gluten. I'm sorry. Yeah. See how much I never heard of it? What's that? Celiac disease? Never heard of that. Everybody ate peanut butter. If you grew up in my generation and you know, you couldn't eat peanut butter, you might starve to death. Because it was the standby. Amen. There was no microwaves. Amen. There was no fast food. Man, I remember the first McDonald's restaurant around here was in Newark, Delaware. And until sometime in the 70s, before there was ever a McDonald's in Elkton, late 70s, before there was ever a fast food restaurant, there wasn't no fast food to go to. Man, if you wanted fast food, it was peanut butter. Amen. If you needed something in a hurry, convenience food, it was peanut butter. Amen. If you was in a hurry and you didn't have anything else to go back to, and if you were so poor that you couldn't afford anything else, it was peanut butter. Amen. Peanut butter will sustain you. Amen. Peanut butter's got about everything in it that you need. Amen. It's another one of those perfect foods. But now, nobody can eat peanut butter. Amen. But you turn around, you can't even, if you have a daycare, I don't even think you're allowed to have it in the house, are you? It ain't allowed to be on the block or something. I don't know. You know, your kid goes to school. If your kid takes a peanut butter sandwich to school, then they get ostracized for being a hindrance to everybody else. I'm telling you, it's unreal. But that's the way we become. But God supplied a perfect food. Anybody could eat it. Nobody had problems. It wouldn't make you sick. It would strengthen you. It would fortify you. It would supply every nutrient that you need. It was God's perfect food, just like what God gives us in His Word. Amen. Amen. It's perfect. Amen. But they longed and they lusted for what they used to have. I don't know about you, but I don't. You know, people talk about the good old days. Now, there were some things good about the old days, but there's some things that some people forgot about the good old days. Amen. How many ever used an outhouse? How many would like to go back to the outhouse? Amen. I didn't think so. Especially in the winter. Summer wasn't much better, tell me. Amen. But they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back into the things that they lusted after those things. And God said, well, you're lusting after what you had. I'll give you a little bit of a taste of what you had. And he sent them quails. He sent them flesh. And they ate flesh till they got sick of eating flesh. They couldn't stand to eat flesh anymore. They loathed the flesh. They talked about loathing this manna. But when they got the quails, they found out what loathing was all about. He gave them what they wanted carnally. And praise God, it made them starve spiritually. They were missing that spiritual food that God had gave because they wanted to replace it with the carnal food. Amen. And they found out very soon that what they wanted wasn't as good as what God was giving them. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about Moses, says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, sometimes we get so short-sighted we fail to see God's plan. We fail to heed God's plan. Amen. God had a plan for them, and God was supplying their need, but they wanted what they used to have. They lusted for the carnal things. And God sent them a spiritual drought. You know, it's real easy, Christian, to get caught up in the things of the world. It's real easy to get caught back into the routine of doing the things that the world does, doing everything everybody else does. And when you get there, God is not going to force you to participate in worship. God's not going to force you to participate in the things that he wants you to do. He will let you go your way, but it comes at a cost. See, the more that you start participating in the world, the more you start lacking in the things that are spiritual, the things that fortify you spiritually and help you spiritually to grow. The more, I want to say this right, one of the Facebook posts I shared, the more you miss church, the more you miss church. Amen? If you, it don't sound right, and it didn't sound right to me the first time I read it, but when you read it and you go back and reread it and you let it strike home, the more you long for it, the more you miss it when you're not there, the more you miss it when you can't be there. Amen? But when we start longing for the things of the world, the things of God begin to take second place. When we want to replace the things of God with the things of the world, we find ourselves in that lean place, that spiritual leanness. God gave them what they wanted. Have you ever asked God for something and God gave it to you and you realized the great cost down the road? You've seen how it brought you away from God, how it starved you for the things of God, because God had given you what you wanted. God gave you what you asked for. Number two, those things that cause spiritual leanness in our life is when we dwell on the worries and the cares of the world instead of giving them to Christ. See, God will let you try to do it on your own. Amen? God will allow you to try. You know, sometimes that song says, I didn't know Jesus was all that I needed until he was all that I had. Amen. Isn't that the way we are so many times? We try to handle everything. We worry about it and we fuss over it. And where we go to this doctor and we go to that doctor. We go to this financial institution, that financial institution. We go to this individual and that individual, asking them for advice and asking them for help and help us get out of this problem. Help us get out of this situation. We worry and we fuss over it and we see the cares of the world that come our way. And we finally realize that if we'd have just took it to Jesus and gave him those burdens. But we're too proud. 1 Peter 5:5-7 says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We're so proud, we'd rather worry ourselves to death. We would rather worry the hair off of our head or worry it gray. We'd rather worry ourselves into ulcers. We'd rather worry and take the carnal path of life than just say, Jesus, I can't handle this. Jesus, I can't deal with this. Jesus, I don't know what to do. And God, I'm laying it here at your feet. I'm bringing it to you. I'm giving it to you. We will starve ourselves of the blessings of God because we're too stiff-necked and too hard-headed just to say right from the get-go, God, I can't handle this. I can't deal with it. So, Lord, I'm giving it to you. And give it to him and let him have it. Take it to the altar and leave it at the altar. He says, casting all your care upon him. Don't say nothing about dragging it back with you, does it? Amen. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Let him carry it. Let him bear it. Let him worry about it. Let him deal with it. Yeah, and I got news for you. God don't have to worry about anything. Amen. When you give it to him and you know that you've given it to him and you've surrendered it to him, you know the best thing, the best outcome that could ever happen for you is going to happen. Why? Because you gave it to him. You're not trying to do it yourself. Amen. We cause spiritual leanness in our life because we fail to give our problems to the one that said he would take them. We fail. We're too proud. He resisteth the proud. Amen. When you try to do it yourself and you buck up and say, I'm going to do it myself, God says, fine, I'll let you do it yourself. It's going to cost you spiritually. Amen. It's going to rob you spiritually because you're not going to be a partaker of the blessings that I want to bestow on you, that blessing of peace, that blessing of assurance, that blessing of confidence and knowing that you've turned it over to me and I've got it all under control. You're going to miss out on these blessings, but I'll let you do it your way. Why? Because God resisteth the proud. Amen. But he gives grace to the humble. Those that realize their frailty and their weakness and will cast their cares upon him and not let these things drag them into that place of spiritual leanness. Another way that we find ourselves spiritually lean and in a spiritual drought is when we become preoccupied with the deceitfulness of God's blessings, the deceitfulness of wealth. Amen. I've heard people say, oh man, if I just had this, God just give me this job, God just give me this promotion, God just give me this and God just give me that, I could be able to do more, I'd be able to give more, I'd be able to be just a better Christian, and God gives them these things, and before you know it, they're nowhere to be found. They become preoccupied with the blessings that God has given them. They become preoccupied with what they're doing and what they're accomplishing instead of realizing that, man, God has blessed me with this and God has blessed me with that. You know, God says, if we're faithful over a few things, he'll make us ruler over many. Amen. If we're faithful in what God has given us and we're faithful in what God has trusted us with now, he will multiply what we need in his time. Amen. Some people have more things than other people. I believe God knows who he can trust with more things than other people. Amen. But we become obsessed with the blessings, and pretty soon we're following the blessing instead of following God. There's nothing wrong with having things. Things in and of themselves is not the issue. Money and wealth isn't the issue. It's not the money that's the issue. The Bible says it's the love of money. Amen. When we start loving money more than we love God, we start desiring money and we start desiring things more than we desire God. And sometimes we desire these things and God gives them to us. God lets us have them, but it comes at a great cost. God gives us the new job and we find out that the new job come with a lot more hours than what we was expecting. God gives us a new job and the new job come with more responsibilities than what we was prepared for and what we was ready for. God gives us a new job and pretty soon the new job is what we're focusing on rather than worshiping and serving him and finding out what it is that he wants us to do. God gives us things. He gives us the vacation home and before you know it, the vacation home is where we're spending all our time. And we're forsaking God. I'm glad we got some here that found a vacation home that brought them to God. Amen. Amen. It's just the opposite. See, God knew just what you needed. And he knew what was just going to bring you to him. But sometimes those things drive you away from him. Amen. We get the new camper and, well, certainly we're working all week. So every weekend now, we're missing church because we're camping. We got the new boat. And certainly, it just seems like every Sunday is the perfect day to go boating. We got the new motorcycle. And certainly, Sunday's just a great day to go motorcycling. Amen. We got the new credit card. And certainly, Sunday is the perfect day to go shopping. You know, it don't matter what it is. You know, God blesses us with things. We ask for things. And the Bible says He gives us the desires of our hearts. But sometimes we ask for things without thinking about the consequences. And pretty soon, the things have consumed our lives. The things have overridden our lives. And pretty soon, our lives aren't what they should be. In Luke chapter 12, He tells of the rich man that had much. And He says, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. You know, we can be rich in the things of this world and be destitute with God. Amen. We can be rich in the blessings that God allows us to have and God bestows upon us and be lean in our spiritual life. Life and be wanting. We can be so blessed that we just bless God right out of our lives. Amen. And God has no place. And it brings us to that place of spiritual dryness, spiritual leanness that God allows to happen. When we desire other than what God has for us. The Apostle Paul said, he told the Philippian church, he said, I've learned to be content. He said, I've learned that no matter what state I find myself, Paul found himself in prison many times. Paul found himself in some very bad circumstances many times. Paul, as we read this morning, five times he received 39 stripes. Three times he was beaten with rods. Three times he was shipwrecked. Night and day he was in the deep. Paul was always in a mess. He was always facing problems and trouble. And yet he says, I found that in whatsoever state I find myself therein to be content. You know, godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. But sometimes we're just not content. You know, there's people, you've seen people that you know, and they just jump from church to church to church to church to church to church. You know, this month, this year, they're at this church. Next time you run across them at the Walmart somewhere, you ask them, how things going up the church where you was going? Oh, we don't go there anymore. We're going to this church. Oh, okay. 6 months later, you run into them again, and you ask them, how are things going in the church up there? Well, we don't go to that church anymore. We go over here. Amen? They're not content. They're never going to be content. You know why? Because they're always looking for something that they're never going to find because they're looking for more than what God wants to give them. God has what you need. Amen? God has what you need. You need a better preacher? You got him right here. You just need to pray for him. Amen. Amen. You need a friendlier church. You got it right here. You just need to pray for it. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you want better singing in your church? You got it right here. You just need to pray about it. Amen. I don't care what it is. You got it right here. You just need to pray about it, and you just need to be content with where God has you and with what God has given you and ask God to meet the need. Amen. Amen. And guess what he'll do? He'll meet it. But we go after preacher churches search for pastors in the total wrong way. They're more interested in a title than an anointing. Amen. Oh, every church has to have Dr. So-and-so as their pastor now. And there's nothing wrong with having that. But that's not what's important. What's important is this who God wants us to have? Is this God? Man, I know churches that have brought Dr. So-and-so into their church, and Dr. So-and-so has destroyed their church. Amen? We don't have to go far to find churches. Churches that were once strong fundamental Baptist churches that have been destroyed because Dr. So-and-so come into their church. And you go finding out about Dr. So-and-so, you found out he destroyed the church that he come from before that. It was a good fundamental church. And you dig deep enough, you'll probably find out that he come from a history of destroying good fundamental works. Just because he's got a doctor behind his name doesn't mean anything. Amen. Just because they sing in a quartet. Let me tell you what, Brother L got saved. Amen. Got saved on the way back from singing with a gospel quartet along Route 29 in Virginia. Amen. I got news for you. Most of these gospel groups don't have no more Jesus in them than the rest of the world has. It's a business to them. But we want more, man. If we just had better singing. Hey, if we had a prettier church. If we had a better this and a better that. We're always wanting other. Man, I tell you what, God has given us a beautiful facility here. Amen. Amen. We have nothing to complain about what God has provided for us here. Man, I've been to some places. Amen. And y'all ain't never been to the little Faith Baptist Church up there in Pennsylvania. Amen. Brother Rick can tell you what I'm talking about. Y'all ain't never been to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jolo, West Virginia. Amen. Praise God, we don't have no snake boxes here. Amen. Amen. But we're always wanting other. We always want different than what God has blessed us with and what God has given us. That's where children, God was providing manna, but they wanted other. They wanted, if we had the other preacher, if we had the other singers, if we had the other facility, if we had the other this, if we had the other that. Amen. But the other's not the answer. Unless God says you need something else. Unless God says you need the other. Be content, be satisfied. Don't be looking to the other things. See, the problem is we get to looking around in the world. And before you know it, we're spiritually dried up sitting in the house of God. Why? Because we're looking around. Man, look at this church over here. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they got. Look at this and look at that. Look at this church over here. Look at this. They got this. They got that. They got the dog and pony show. They got the slot machines in the back. And there's a church around here that's going on now. And you can get a sandwich and you can get food right in the midst of the service. And I know people that go to that church and I've seen them on Facebook with a beer bottle in their hand slugging down beer, and the man, they think they're crazy. I know a guy that went to that one particular church, sat in that church, and said the couple that was sitting beside him were talking about where they were going to eat and what cocktails they were going to have when they got there. And this is called a church, and people look at it and say, wow, have you been to that church? Or have you heard about that church? Have you seen that church? Yeah, I know all about it. I'll stick with what I got. Amen. I'll stick with where God's placed me. I'll stick with what God's blessed me with because I believe this is the true church. Amen. See, we get busy looking around this way. And it all sounds good and it looks good. You know, it's kind of like I was preaching about boot camp this morning. I mean, they even dictated your underwear. Amen. You know, nobody could see your underwear. Amen. You realize that when you're in a uniform, ain't nobody can see your skivvies. Amen. But Uncle Sam decided that you was all going to have the same kind of skivvies. They was all going to be the same color. And though nobody could see them, nobody was aware of them. Amen. Uncle Sam was. You see, we look at the world and we don't see it all. But God sees it all. God looks at our heart. He sees what nobody else sees. He sees the envy. He sees the longing. He sees the covetousness that we have. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Amen. We come up spiritually lacking, spiritually lean, spiritually destitute, spiritually dry in our Christian lives when we start looking at the things of the world, we start looking around us in the world and stop looking up to Jesus. Amen. If Jesus knows we need those things, he'll put those things in here. Amen. If Jesus knows we need those things and they're going to be an asset and they're not going to be a hindrance, he'll give them to us. He'll bless us with them. Amen. But don't long for them because somebody else has them and not because God, we can get so wrapped up in this church and that church and what's going on here and what's going on there, we forget what God is doing in your own church. Right. Amen. Amen. And you can walk out of your own service feeling empty and destitute and lean. Asking yourself, where was God? Well, he was right there. You just didn't want him. He had just what you needed, but you didn't want it. Because you wanted what the church down the road was peddling. And what the church down the road is peddling may not be worth consuming anyway. Amen. We find ourselves destitute. We find ourselves spiritually lean. When we allow ourselves to dwell in the place of spiritual famine. Amen. What do you mean by that, preacher? Sometimes we don't want to be fed by the word. You know, you can eat stuff and die of malnutrition. Am I lying? You can eat stuff every day and die of malnutrition because you're not eating the right stuff. You're not eating the right thing. In Amos, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Ain't that so true? People in this world would give their lives for the opportunity to sit under the preaching of God's word. People in this world risk their lives every day just to tell somebody about Jesus. People in North Korea die. People in North Korea are imprisoned. People in North Korea are suffering just because they spoke the name of Jesus, and somebody heard him. We walk away from, "Oh man, I just didn't get anything out of that service today." Why? Why? Was you looking? Was you desiring? You know, I've sat under some, I know I'm not a great preacher, but I've sat under some preachers that were really, really hard and difficult to listen to. But God gave me something. Amen. Because it's not about the preacher. It's about his word. There's a famine in our land. There's a famine in our churches. Because we're not cultivating. We're not striving to flourish. We don't open the word of God. How many of you open the Word of God other than on Sundays? How many open the Word of God daily and get in God's Word and get fed daily from the Word? Don't raise your hands. It embarrasses too many people. Amen? How many of you pray to God and seek God's face about the things that you're facing in your life daily? Amen? How many have a regular conversation, a regular relationship with God? Amen? And you come up destitute and you blame God. It's not God's fault. You chose to dwell in the famine. You chose to dwell in the place where there was nothing to sustain you. That was your choice. God was supplying all that you needed all along. God has everything that you need. God will give you what you need. He's supplying manna. But you'd rather dwell in the place where the famine is and wonder why there's leanness in your soul. And lastly, we depend. It's kind of almost like dwelling on the cares. But we depend on the carnal. And we live in a carnal world. I had a carnal job for 37 and a half years. I had carnal jobs before that. I worked in the world. But God, I knew, supplied the job that I had. God met the needs that I had. But I depended on my job. I relied on my job. But when we get to the place where we depend on man, we depend on the science of man. That's what's happening in America today. They want to take away our dependence on God, our reliance on God, our assurance that God's going to meet our need, and want us to depend on man. That they want us to surrender our guns and depend upon the government. Well, they've done it all over the world, and look what's happening. Yeah. So now instead of shooting you in England, they stab you. Amen. As Archie Bunker told Meathead one time, when he complained about somebody shooting somebody and guns should have been outlawed, and those immortal words of that great, great mind of Archie Bunker, would you rather they threw him out the window? I mean, the depravity of man is always going to be running rampant, is it not? It don't matter. What's the difference if he shoots you, if he stabs you, or if he throws you out the window? Amen? You're still just as dead. Amen? You're still just as dead. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of something else, but depend on us. Depend on us for your universal health care. Everybody will have health care. This one ain't looking too good. Pull the plug on her. We're not spending no more money on that. Yep. Amen. Look at that one over there. She's looking poorly. Pull the plug on her. Look at that one back there. He's got a family history. We're going to pull the plug on him. See, what the world wants, what Satan wants, is you dependent on man. Dependent on man to meet your needs. Dependent on man to satisfy you. Dependent on man to bring you through. But God's a jealous God. And God won't share his place with anybody else. And when you start depending on man, you stop depending on God. When you stop depending on God, he will send leanness into your soul. And pretty soon, we see the souls of man begin to dry up and to wither up. And to begin to change. In Psalm 118, in verse number 8, it's supposed to be the absolute center of the Bible. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to give you this disclaimer. The people that write these little things up might have been counting these verses from an NIV Bible that omits some of the verses in your King James Bible. So this might not actually be the absolute center of the Bible. But supposedly, there's 1,188 verses before this verse, and there's 1,188 verses after this verse, and this verse is 118, verse number 8, 1,188. It is supposed, Psalm 118, verse number 8, is supposed to be the absolute center of the Bible. I ain't counted it up. Now, one of y'all got the time sometime, and you want to count that up in your King James Bible and let me know if it's true or not, I would greatly appreciate it. And I'll even give you a I'll give you a Hershey bar, but when I let people know that you counted it up, I'll even tell them that it was you that counted it up for me. I'll give you credit in the Bible. But Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You see, the children of Israel, they wanted to put their faith, they wanted to put their confidence in everybody but God. They chose them at times out of leaders, Dathan and that bunch with him that caused the rebellion. They want to choose men that supposedly know what God wants when God already had his man in place and God had already set his plan in order and God had already given them instructions through his man. But yet they didn't want to depend on God's man. They didn't want to depend on God's way. They didn't want to depend on God's word and God's plan. They chose Dathan and his bunch. Caused a great, great slaughter among the people. You see, when we start depending on man instead of depending on God, it brings spiritual leanness to our souls. In Jeremiah 17, God says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You see, when we begin to depend on man, we place ourselves in a place of spiritual dearth, spiritual drought, spiritual leanness. And it don't matter what comes our way good, we won't see it because we're dependent on man. But when we depend on God, when we give him our whole heart, we humble ourselves before him, we trust in him with everything that's within us, we find out that he meets our needs. See, God is talking about his people. And it's necessary for his people to remember that sometimes God will give us what we want. But be careful what we ask God for. Because everything that we ask God for will come with a price. Amen? Sometimes it's the price of being forsaken by the world. And sometimes it's the price of being forsaken by God. Amen? I don't want to be forsaken by God. I don't want to have that spiritual leanness in my soul. But I want to feel my soul bubbling up, running over. I've seen people that had nothing as far as the world was concerned be the most satisfied people that ever was. And that's what I want to be, satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with where he's got me. Satisfied with what he's given me. How about you tonight? How about you tonight? And he gave them their request, but send leanness into their soul. As we stand to our feet tonight.